Hello, and welcome to another Forgotten Fantasy podcast. Today we'll be moving on to chapters 5 and 6 of part 5 of Emperor Blood. And before we get into that, I'd like to talk to you about why it's been so long put up an episode. And what happened is my father and Jane's husband was diagnosed with esophageal cancer, and so we had to take a break for quite some time, but now we are back and we're focusing on the podcast because now we have the capacity to do so. So thank you very much for your patience, and I hope you enjoy these two chapters of Emperor Blood.
Chapter 6. Demeter settled in a field of newly sprouting corn. A light rain fell through the dark and moonless night. A distant booming meant the rebels' diversion had started. The ship camouflaged herself. They slipped away to the city. Reimer's defense headquarters sat beside the prison. "This is where they kept you." Andre stared up at the prison. "Hello!" They whirled around, lasers bristling. Haru grinned at them. Tanchi shook his head in disgust. "Quiet. This way." He motioned at all of them. Old maps and new crowded in his mind. Their black shadows shifted through the alleys to the headquarters. A large palazzo surrounded the building's high, smooth metal walls. Dead pigeons lay on the park paving stones. Searchlights crisscrossed the square. Tanchi flattened his hands on the edge of the pavement. "Lasers. Alarms," he murmured. "It's off. Ah, the searchlights are connected." The searchlights creaked and slowed. Shadows spread across the pavement. "Come on, stay in the dark. There's a door." They crouched and dashed over the palazzo and huddled against the building. Tanchi felt the door. The searchlights returned to their regular pattern, and the door slid back. Tanchi leaned around it and motioned them to come. They entered a garden of hedges, sharp scent of mint. Beyond lay a courtyard with stone benches, statues, and potted trees. The wet pavement gleamed. "Back in a few minutes." Andre turned to Meru. "Come, learn a few things." "No, he'll never be Kuang again," Tanchi said. "Mother seems to have done all right, keeping the throne and feeding on humans," Meru said. "Sacrilege," Tanchi said. Meru shrugged. "Not Menendek citizens." "Excuse me," Anne said. "Shh. Meru knows what's right. Come on," Andre said. Tanchi, Meru, and Andre slipped away. Anne, John, and Dinesh hunched behind a hedge. Guards fell with soft thumps. Tanchi returned. He licked his lips, then his fangs, his tongue darting like a snake's. Andre and Meru took a little longer to appear. "Incredible. The most incredible thing." Meru licked his own lips. Dinesh shivered. "We do want to keep some humans on our side," Tanchi said. "Thanks," John said. Andre smirked at Meru. "So?" "I understand her," he glanced at his father. "And him." Tanchi placed a hand on Meru's shoulder and whispered, "My son." Meru's eyes teared. Tanchi looked away, rose slightly from his crouch, and ran into the courtyard to the front of a large modern building. The others followed. The front door contained an ordinary lock. Andre stared. It clicked from inside as it turned. "Don't ever tell me again that vampires can't pass through locked doors," Anne said. Andre sent her a wink. They entered and stood listening in the silent darkness. Hard chairs and tables were scattered through a large room. A single elevator gleamed at the other end of the room. "Everything's white, even the carpet," Anne said. "Wipe your feet." "Anne, you hide here and signal if anyone comes," Tanchi said. "That's useless," Anne said. "I'm coming with you." "No," Tanchi said. "Let her come," Andre said. "She's more likely to die here than with us." "Thanks a bunch. How do you manage with a female general?" Anne said. "Not well," Andre muttered. "You'll need me at your backs," Anne said. "The odds are shortening the longer we stand here arguing," John said. "All right," Tanchi said. They stepped onto the elevator with lasers out and armed. The door closed and Dinesh pushed the button for the lower level. The door opened to an empty hall of white walls and a dull linoleum floor. The sounds of talking and communications equipment came from an entrance to the right. Anne froze with fear, not of dying, but of killing. They invaded the room. Tonchi grinned as Reimer leapt up from a chair beside a small war table. Their lasers, including Anne's, killed the generals, guards, and technicians before a gun was pulled. Andre and Anne grabbed Reimer's arms. Total surprise. Maru's face was flushed with blood and excitement. Tonchi sat down at a computer and placed his hands over the controls. "You'll never crack the code," Reimer said. "He doesn't have to," Andre said. "Maru, John, and Dinesh, check the rest of the bunker and guard the elevator," Tonchi said. The men moved out of the room and off down both ways of the hall. Tonchi concentrated on the new Puritan war machine, creating a virus that would quickly corrupt and destroy the computers and their related weapons. He searched the incoming space information. Nothing about the fleet. He didn't know why, but he still hoped. Tonchi set up a false communications package to hide the destruction of the defenses. He monitored the positions of the March battlecruisers. Too far out. He could enter the ships through their communications links and cause disruption, but decided to let the virus do the work. Scuffling, grunting, and a gasp from Anne. Tonchi glanced up. Andre and Reimer fought with Andre's stake. Why had Andre removed it from its sheath? Tonchi jumped up. Reimer glanced at him and with a mighty heave stabbed Anne in the neck. Blood spurted up. Anne pressed her hands to her neck. Blood pumped out around her fingers, down her front, and pooled on the linoleum. Its ruby beauty raised the longing Tonchi had fought against since his rescue. Anne fainted to the floor. Tonchi rushed to her, bent without thinking, and pulled her up to him. He put his mouth over the wound. "No, don't," Andre said. Tonchi glanced up as his brother paused in the tug over his stake. Reimer jammed the wood forward deep into Andre's heart. Anne's warm blood spurted into Tonchi. He watched his brother topple backwards. Shock and the blood madness rose. He sucked, long and deep. Her life surged through his veins. "You are mine. You are my companion. We are one forever." Tonchi removed his fangs. Anne's blank eyes stared in a marble face, every freckle standing out. She was dead. He raised his eyes and saw Andre lying in front of him. His brother's blood bubbled out of his chest. The acrid smell of oak poison choked the air. Reimer stood above him and laughed. "You're done." Reimer aimed the bloody stake at him. Tonchi tackled him and slammed him against the war table. Reimer's head hit the edge, knocking him out. Tonchi pulled the stake from his hands and tossed it. Tonchi knelt down beside Anne and cradled her in his arms. He had murdered the woman he loved. His brother had died from a look at it. "Why must I do this?" he shouted. She should have listened to the myths and kicked him off her ship the first time she saw him. The myths. The tales. He returned his mouth to the wound and took a deep breath. Something stirred inside him. Yes. The blood. Her blood and his blood. Poured into the wound. He clung to her until he could give no more. Tonchi broke away, dizzy, and looked down at her. Anne lay dead. Why had he thought such a thing could work? He pulled her body close. He was a monster. He stared at his brother's body. He wanted to burn away to nothing in the justified agony of the sun. Anne moved. A reflex? She drew a breath. Anne opened her eyes. Tonchi kissed her face and cried. "I fainted. How stupid," she said. "Oh, oh, Andre." Reimer groaned and tried to sit up. Tonchi scuttled over and straddled him. He bared his fangs and hissed. Reimer struggled to get away. Tonchi let him try, then cuffed his face as they had cuffed him. Tonchi examined Reimer's throat. This feeding was just and right. "Tonchi, Tonchi," Anne whispered. "No, stop. We had to kill before, but look where it's ended up. We're better than this. You're better than this. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Turn him over to the rebels for justice." Impossible. He thirsted, and his enemy lay before him. Tonchi stared down into Reimer's terrified eyes. He was going to enjoy murdering Reimer, enjoy it very much. Tonchi glanced at Anne. She shook her head. He had murdered her and enjoyed it. He needed to think. Tonchi mesmerized Reimer to unconsciousness and knelt beside his body. He heard Anne sigh. Tonchi moved over to her and held her. She was right. Let the dead bury the dead. John walked into the room. "Andre!" John screamed, "Andre! Andre!" Chapter 6. The rebels invaded the bunker. Dinesh stayed behind with Reimer as his prisoner. John and Maru carried Andre back to Demeter. Tanchi walked behind, his arm around Anne, supporting her. They placed Andre on his bed. The ship took off, avoiding flak and anti-aircraft guns from both sides in the battle for New London. John sat beside the bed. "It's stasis, right?" He stared at the wound in Andre's chest. "That stake in the heart stuff's just myth." Tanchi bit his lip and shook his head. "It's oak. It's poison to us. His heart's dissolved. Brain mush." Tanchi plodded to the galley. He returned to the bedroom with a large plastic bowl filled with steaming water, soap, and 2 clean washcloths. "We're going to wash Andre's body." He handed a cloth to Maru. "Hand me one," John said. "Only family," Tanchi said. "Now the truth comes out," John said. "Homophobic bastard. You never even gave him a call until you needed him." Tanchi stared at him. "You have no idea what he means to me." His voice lowered. "Meant to me." Maru handed John his cloth. John grabbed it from him. He sobbed as he washed his spouse's face. Maru untied Andre's boots and pulled them off, then went to work on his uncle's socks and pants, his tears silent. Tanchi rinsed the blood away, his face grim. Anne could hardly stand it. She felt dizzy and held on to the wall. No one noticed her as she cried. "We've landed back in the meadow," Demeter said. "It'll soon be dawn," Tanchi said. "We need to dig a trench for his cremation." They trooped outside, and by the light of a late moon, the men dug a shallow trench, well away from the ship. Maru brought out 2 pails of water and an urn that it brought in case it was needed for Tanchi, not Andre. They placed Andre's naked body in the trench, face up, his arms crossed in front of him. John placed a towel across his private parts. Tanchi removed it. "Give him his dignity, for God's sake," John said. "He won't burn right," Maru said. "Sorry." Maru and Tanchi pulled on white gloves and reflective sunglasses. They covered themselves with billowing white sun robes. A padded white cloth ring around their head held the robe in place with a small cloth grill for their eyes. The vampire sat a few feet from the trench and gathered the robes around them. Tanchi hunched into himself. His body shook with grief. Anne and John sat together on the other side of the trench. Anne hugged her brother. He briefly put his head on her shoulder before sitting up straight and staring at Andre's body. The sun came up. Andre's body reddened and bubbled and burned. Anne's stomach clenched. She jumped up and ran further into the meadow. Anne heaved up thick bile and black blood. She lay down on the grass and watched from a distance. She shivered and pulled her sweater close around her, though the morning was warm. The vampires chanted. Smoke and flames crackled up from the trench. Anne dozed off, then woke to the sound of water tossed on the ashes. She closed her eyes. "Are you all right?" A white blur that must be Tanchi knelt beside her. "Your face is red." "I'm burning up," Anne squinted, "and the light hurts." "Anne?" John stood over her. "Oh, Anne." "I'm okay," she said. "No, you're not," John said. It seemed Tanchi wrapped her in white and lifted her. She clung to him and he carried her past Maru, scooping ashes into the urn. Tanchi carried her to her bed. "I must have picked up a bug from the march," Anne said. "You're covered in blood," John said. "I threw up," Anne said. "Why is your neck swollen on one side?" John asked. "I don't know. I don't remember," Anne said. You were holding her in the bunker." John stared at Tanchi. "Don't fight with him," Anne said. "I won't," Tanchi and John said together. Anne passed out. A few hours later, she opened her eyes. Tanchi stood beside her with a worried frown. She wanted to drink from him. "I'm thirsty," she said. Tanchi had her sip from a glass of water. "I want you," she said. He shook his head. She slept dead to the world. A moan of "Anne, Anne" awoke her. Tanchi had finally fallen into an exhausted sleep, but even in his dreams he fretted. She kissed his careworn face and, feeling restless after her time in bed, decided on a walk outside in the fresh air so as not to disturb him. The afternoon sun sparkled over the valley. Anne squinted. The brightness hurt her eyes. Sunburn streaked over her shoulders and down her arms. Anne hurried back into the ship and put on a long shirt, pants, a hat, and sunglasses. She tended to burn, but this happened too fast. The pollution of the planet must thin its ozone in the spring. Anne made herself some soup. Feeling a bit faint, she sat under the canvas awning and watched the sun go down. Pinks, orange, and red reflected off the mountains. The snowy peaks still shone past Dowell when Tonchi appeared, black half-circles smudged under his eyes. She knew he blamed himself for everything. "How are you doing?" she asked. "Okay, I guess. I hunted after the funeral. You okay?" He held a hand against her forehead and cheeks to check for fever. She nodded, and he sat down beside her with a sigh of relief. They held hands, studying the new moon. "There's something growing in the hold. Come and see," Tonchi said at last. They met John coming out of the galley, and the three of them tramped down to the hold. A silver bulge sat way at the back, under the control room. The surface rippled and dimpled. "That's really weird," Anne said. "An alien spore of some kind? I don't know. I've had a good look, but I haven't touched it," Tonchi said. "Never touch an alien thing unless you know all about it." "That's a rule I broke," John said. Anne hugged him. "You knew all about Andre," Tonchi said. "This thing's definitely alive. I can see something moving inside. I'm going to search the computers here on Tyranda to see if they can tell me what it is and how to get rid of it." The mini-robot trundled into the hold, a bottle of blood clasped in its claw. It rolled up to a depression at one end of the bulge, twisted off the bottle cap, and pushed the tip into the hole. The blood disappeared. Tonchi stared at the mini-robot with great suspicion. He examined the bulge once more. "All right, Demeter," Tonchi crossed his arms. "Let's have it out." "Why, whatever do you mean?" Demeter said. A shudder quaked through the ship. "Where's everyone? What's happening?" Meru called. "We're down in the hole," John replied. Meru ran down the stairs. "Whoa, what's that?" Tonchi held a finger to his lips to silence him and said to Demeter, "That's the second time you've shuddered like that tonight. What's going on?" "You should ask John." "Has your time come?" John asked Demeter. "Yes," she said. "Demeter, what's going on?" Anne said. "I'm having a child," the ship said. "I'm in labor." "What?" "Ships can't get pregnant," Anne said. "That's impossible. What are you playing at?" "A little bit of John's sperm, a little bit of Andre's sperm, a bioengineering kit with an empty egg, a little bit of angel dust," Demeter said. "We wanted a child," John said. "It started before we left Menendek." "A baby? Why didn't you tell me?" Anne shouted. "Could have come early, and then where would we be?" "Andre wanted to save his brother," John said. "Idiots with no idea," Tonchi muttered. "You're alive," John said. Quivers ran the length of the floor. Another shudder hit the ship. Demeter huffed. "That was a nasty one." The uterus winkled and dimpled. Anne touched the bulge. She tried to peer inside. The uterus tightened for a few seconds. Demeter shuddered. A hole appeared above the floor. The uterus tightened. Demeter groaned. The whole of the ship shuddered and creaked. "Demeter, you okay?" Tonchi asked. "Oh, yes, I'm okay," Demeter snapped. "I'm creaking and shuddering in every joint. But, oh, yes, I'm okay. Why don't you try this sometime?" "No, thanks." Anne remembered her mother in labor. "This'll make you feel better." She smoothed the metallic skin. The hole dilated. "I want to push. I'm going to push," Demeter said. "No, try not to yet," Anne gauged the size of the hole and the size of the bulge. "Wait till you've dilated a little bit more." "I can't." "Oh, Anne, here it comes. It stings. It stings." Demeter gave a massive groan, shuddered, and pushed. The bulge tightened. The top of a head appeared. Anne held the emerging head. A wet baby flopped out into Anne's arms. A gush of blood and Leto fluid spilled onto the floor. They coughed at the oily stink. The baby gave a cry and showed little fangs. John appeared with scissors and cut the umbilical cord. The bulge contracted and the hole sealed. Only a silver scar remained on the side of the hole. Demeter sighed with relief. "It's a girl. A new clan head for Vershant," John said. "Andre was a man," Tonchi said. "I'll fight for her rights," John said. "You won't deny her." "I'll support you," Meru said. "He was my brother. I wouldn't deny her." Tonchi held out his middle finger. The baby grabbed it in her mouth, bit down, and sucked. "She has silver hair," Anne said. "We better clean her and cover her." Tonchi detached his finger. "She needs mother milk, too." "We have frozen milk, lots of it," Demeter said. "And the blood, too." "No. No bottle blood," Tonchi said. "She needs living blood." "I'll feed her," John said. "Must be a vampire. Sorry," Tonchi said. "She's my daughter. She's our daughter. John reached out to snatch the baby. "Let's get her cleaned up." The little vampire mouth moved like a fish gasping for air. "And find that milk." Tanchi ran up the ramp, turning with the bowl they used to wash Andre, a washcloth, towels, and blanket. Warm, soapy water filled the bowl. John washed the child, dried her, then wrapped her in the blanket and hugged her. The mini-robot appeared with a bottle of milk. John sat down on the stairs and fed the baby. "What are you going to call her?" Anne asked. "Persephone," Demeter said. "I carried her. I name her." "That's fine with me," John said. "You've done a wonderful job. But Andre wanted to name her Ume, after his dead mother, if she was a girl." "I would like that," Tanchi said. "Ume Persephone, then," John said. "I will call her Persephone," Demeter said. "She's a Persephone." No one argued with her.
Thank you very much for listening, and if you'd like to get a copy of the book, head on over to our Patreon page at forgottenfantasy.patreon.com. We also live stream on Twitch, and it's a variety stream. So Mondays is music, Wednesdays is Warcraft. It varies based on my schedule at work. So, and then of course we're on social media. So there's Facebook, facebook.com/forgottenfantasy. Twitter is at Bronny the Bard, because I rebranded the Twitch channel since I'm no longer Gamers Illogical, but it's under the Gamers Illogical umbrella. We still use both names interchangeably. Anyway, thank you for listening, and take care, and good health. Bye-bye now.